Welcome to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with your host, Lucas Carlson. From Docker and Linux containers to programming languages and web frameworks, we interview technology and thought leaders around the world every week. This week's interview is brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud, the world's fastest self-service enterprise-grade cloud.
Hello, this is Lucas Carlson with the CenturyLink Labs. This week, we get to interview a great guest who's been on the show before. I'm really happy to welcome him back. Brandon Phillips, one of the founders of CoreOS, and super excited to talk about Rocket, the new project that's coming out of CoreOS. Understand it better. There's been all sorts of controversy on the web, and unless you've had your head under a rock, you've been seeing all the sorts of stuff that's been going on. But instead of talking about the controversy, let's not start with controversy. Let's just talk about the tech. So, Brandon, welcome back to the show. What is Rocket do?
Sure. So Rocket is a container runtime, which means that a few things. The first is that it downloads images of your application over the internet. And in future versions, it'll verify those, and then it runs those inside of a container. And I know that a lot of people have a good sense of what a container is, but in just simple terms, a container is a process that's running on your host, and it's isolated from other processes.
So how is Rocket different than Docker?
So a few things that we've done a little bit differently. The first is that Rocket does not have a daemon. So when you run Rocket, run, say, coreos.com/etcd, that's actually executing directly under the process that you started it from. So if you know your bash is PID 400, then Rocket run is going to be 401. And this is a pretty substantial design difference. We wanted to have Rocket be essentially a view on a static binary. So much in the same way when you like compile a Go program and run that, it executes directly underneath your initial process. So same with Rocket.
So it's like with Ruby, you have an interpreter, and the Ruby interpreter interprets your code, and the Ruby interpreter is running, and your code is running. And with Go, you compile it, and then there's no Go interpreter running. You're just running your code. Is that kind of the difference between Docker and Rocket?
In a way, in that, like, and Docker kind of runs these things in separate process aside. So you can think of it in another way. So you already have an init system, like Upstart or systemd or daemon tools or run it. When you do Rocket run, it actually gets monitored and ran underneath that init system. And this can be a little bit of a tricky point if you're using Docker for these sorts of use cases, because the daemon will, when you do Docker run, it'll be underneath the PID namespace of the Docker daemon.
So I've got all sorts of questions like why you guys did this, but before we go into why, let's understand the technology a little bit better. So could you, for example, take some of the Docker images in the Docker Hub and run them under Rocket in theory?
Yeah, so there's a community project that somebody announced just yesterday that converts a Docker image into the app container image. So another thing is we've worked with a number of people and groups within sort of this container ecosystem and got some feedback and created a separate spec outside of Rocket, which defines what we're calling an app container and the app container image and the app container runtime. And those projects now live at github.com/appc. And so there's a tool that converts from a Docker container to an app container image.
Does it do that through the Docker file or through the image itself?
Through the image itself, yeah.
Would you be able to create a application image in Rocket from a Docker file?
Yeah, you can imagine doing that. There's no direct tool right now. I mean, part of what Docker is that Docker file and that Docker build process. And I think that process works fine, and it's a pretty reasonable way of putting together a container.
Got it. And so once you have a Rocket container up and running, so the Rocket system gets the container up and running. Does it go away after it's got it up and running?
So with the app container runtime, another difference from something like Docker is that Rocket runs multiple processes inside the container. So you have an active monitoring essentially a init system that makes sure that you or ensures and gives you the ability to restart processes or say have two or three processes sharing resources inside of a single container. So you can think of it as there's a there's an outside container, the root container, and then there's each app runs in its own individual container, and you can put constraints in those things. And so you can this kind of goes away and fixes the problem that a lot of people have where they will install daemon tools or run it inside of their Docker container. And instead, you can do that sort of as like a first-class process and compose different images together into that single root container.
Got it. So then what does what's the underlying operating system within the application containers with Rocket? Is there, like in Docker, you can have Ubuntu or RHEL or different, you know, Fedora. Is there an operating system in these Rocket containers?
Yeah, it's identical to how you have a root file system, and that can come from wherever you want. You can build it yourself, or you can use a Debian, or you can use a Fedora or whatever.
Is there the ability to have something similar to a Scratch image within Rocket?
So right now there's like build tools that are emerging, like build tools that create a Go ACI directly from Go source code, or convert from Docker images to ACIs. And so that sort of whole ecosystem is developing. I guess that answers the question, yeah.
Got it. And right now it's limited to, you can't run it on any Linux or BSD system. Can you talk to us about the, what do you need to run Rocket?
Any modern Linux kernel should work. So if you have a modern Ubuntu or Fedora or CoreOS or whatever, it's a single static binary.
Got it. Okay, now that we kind of understand the technology better, explain to us, why did you build this?
Sure. So there's a few technical reasons why we wanted to build this. One of the major ones was this daemonless mode, and this enables us to do things like, we just made another release of Rocket today, and it allows us to do things like integrate well with socket activation. So the idea that I pass file descriptors from one process to the other, and those file descriptors may be like open listening sockets. And this has a lot of like nice security things that come out of it, and also a lot of dependency management things. So you can imagine that I have, on a systemd system, I can say listen on port 443, and then hand the file descriptor to, if somebody comes in on that socket, hand that file descriptor to my Rocket container that's running my web server. And the cool thing about that is that if you architect your application correctly, the web server doesn't have to have any networking at all. It just has this one file descriptor. And so it doesn't have to have any outbound networking. It doesn't have to know anything really about routable internet addresses. And so this is a nice little feature. But also it means that it can play well with existing systemd or upstart or whatever init systems, which we've kind of had a few bootstrapping problems that we've hit and talked about on our mailing list. For example, we have an overlay network system called Flannel, and we would like to run that in a container, but we ended up having sort of a bootstrapping problem. How do we run that in a container that then needs to configure the outside Docker daemon to then start that Docker daemon with the correct network configuration? And so these sort of like advantages were what we had in mind for the daemonless mode. And then also the image format allows for a few interesting things. The first is that it's defined as being signed by just regular GPG keys. And it has a discovery mechanism that's spread out over all of DNS. So you can, your registry for these images can be a simple HTTP server, or you can do more interesting things. Like if you run coreos.com/etcd:\.0.5.0, on Rocket, that actually uses a mechanism that looks at the HTTP pages and finds out where the image, that the binary for etcd lives, and downloads that and fetches it. You don't have to know where that image is. It's actually hosted on GitHub, but we own that domain, like coreos.com/etcd, And so people can kind of spread out the namespace of where containers live over the internet, which is how a lot of protocols on the internet work.
Got it.
Those are the big things that I get me excited about this stuff.
Is CoreOS going to support Docker and Rocket in the future, or is it going to go to just one or the other? How does the CoreOS system interact with Rocket?
Yeah, so Docker is not going anywhere. We have a ton of users using Docker, and we think the Docker platform, and that's all fine. What Rocket will be used for is sort of some of these problems that I've talked about, like, for example, being able to do this flannel overlay stuff. And there's a number of places where we could just continue to add more stuff to the CoreOS system, but it'd be really nice if we could run those things in containers. And helping to solve those problems is where we'll start seeing Rocket more.
Got it. So do you envision people who use CoreOS in the future to mix and match some Rocket containers, some Docker containers, depending on the needs of those containers? Or do you foresee it to be one or the other?
I can certainly see a use case for both things, depending on what you're trying to do with your host. I think that's reasonable for sure.
Do you think that this is kind of like back in the day when version control was kind of going, and there was Git and there was Mercurial and there was all these different version control systems out there that kind of were doing different variations of branching and merging? Do you think we're in that kind of moment in time with Linux containers right now?
Yeah, I think sort of from that time period where we had Git coming out, what we kind of found is that there's plumbing. So Git has this concept of plumbing and porcelain, right? And so the plumbing is the stuff that hopefully everyone can agree on, but there's going to be different workflows on top of that plumbing. And kind of what I'd like to see is with the app container spec, that kind of becomes the plumbing of what we think of as these application containers. So we agree on like file formats and how these images are found and how they're downloaded and how they're assembled on disk. And then it's perfectly great, and I actually want to encourage this idea that lots of different runtimes might exist, because POSIX and the way people architect their systems, they're complicated, and a lot of people have very strict or interesting needs. And so I think it's okay if we end up in a place where there's lots of different runtimes. So, for example, like Mesos may have a different runtime than Cloud Foundry, than et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's a reasonable place to end up. But we need to make sure that we can agree on that plumbing piece. And that's kind of the thing that we're trying to do with the app container thing.
And why didn't you guys go the direction, or did you try to go the direction of contributing these functionalities back into Docker? Why did you create a separate project?
Yeah, that's a good question. We early on tried to get the standalone mode into Docker, and Red Hat contributed a bunch of things to kind of go down that path, and it kind of kept getting delayed or whatever, and so that was one of the reasons was that.
And it's not a fork, right? You didn't take it the Docker source. Did you build it from scratch, or did you start it from some other projects? What's the heritage of the source code?
The heritage of the source code was we started it about 2 or 3 weeks. I think was the first commit before we put it up on our blog post, It uses a bunch of the libraries that we had already written for Fleet and for some of our other tools. But then we kind of put together the prototype and then the specification over that time period. And so it's definitely a raw project. It's a brand new raw open source project. But it's progressing pretty well.
And when we last talked, I think you had just announced beta channels. It was alpha before, and CoreOS was in beta channels. Now you've got stable channels for CoreOS. Now you've made a lot of progress with CoreOS. Where are we at with Rocket, and in what part? Is it alpha, beta? When do you think it's going to be ready to use in production?
So right now we're definitely on the alpha side of the development process. I would think what we're doing with Rocket is fairly straightforward and well scoped. We're not trying to create a lot of software here, and we want to leverage as much stuff as we can. So hopefully, like early next year, we can sort of get to the point where it's beta and we can put it and start testing it out for some of the use cases that we had in mind inside of the CoreOS images. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, you always underestimate how hard the software is.
Would you ever see the Rocket either code or the standalone mode coming back into Docker? Do you see it folding in, or do you think that it's fundamentally going to stay a separate project?
I think that the first place that we could definitely work together is on the app container spec and the image format. I think that over time, sort of the goals of the projects will look less similar, so which is perfectly reasonable. We want this like tiny little, essentially package manager plus container runtime, and the Docker project is moving towards more of a platform, and that's a reasonable thing too. It's just that with CoreOS, we want to try to ship as little stuff as possible, and so it's just a slight difference of end goal.
Got it. Are there any updates that you'd like to share about any of the other technologies, either CoreOS, etcd, Fleet, since we last talked?
Sure, yeah. The big exciting one, I think, is etcd has been maturing really nicely. We have projects like Flynn, Deus, and Kubernetes all relying on etcd in a pretty big way inside of those projects. And so we kind of made a big investment in the stability of etcd, and the not just stability, but also the operationability, if that's a word. but we kind of had all this experience with users interacting with the system. And for the most part, it's worked as designed, but there were definitely some sharp corners that people kept stubbing their toes and cutting themselves on. So etcd now has a lot of nice tooling in this in these current alpha releases for 0.5 that we've been doing for adding and removing hosts, and for making sure that configuration errors don't actually end up in cluster failures. So we added all these unique UUIDs all over the place so that we can detect, hey, you're adding a member from an old cluster or from this other cluster. You can't bridge two clusters and like reject those sorts of membership changes and detect changes where and faults for like hard disks and that sort of thing, where we found people would have a log file that had a random bit flip, and it's, very hard to debug, and so we've added checksums and that sort of stuff. So really focusing on like making it so people can detect and recover from mistakes.
Got it. Great. Well, this has been awesome. It's great to understand Rocket better, and thanks for coming back. And we'd love to have you back as Rocket matures and as there's new announcements. So thanks for sharing.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with Lucas Carlson. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, CenturyLinkLabs.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. This has been a CenturyLink production. Join us next time for another edition of the CenturyLink Labs podcast.